Hey, welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. You know, it's an important time on Capitol Hill right now for veterans. Congress weighing the next budgets for the Department of Defense and Veterans Affairs. And while they are setting spending levels, there are also efforts to increase support for veterans around the nation. Jose Ramos, VP of Government and Community Relations at Wounded Warrior Project, joins us now to talk about some legislative priorities for the veterans nonprofit. Jose, how are you?
I'm doing well, Randy. Thanks again for having me on today.
Man, you know, I've talked to a bunch of people through the years that are involved with advocacy and fighting the good fight on Capitol Hill. There's a lot to it. Jose, let people know, how important is advocacy?
You know, that's a great question. Advocacy truly is a critical way we serve warriors in the veteran community. Our country made a promise to its soldiers and veterans, and something we need to remind Congress and our government once in a while about those promises and ensuring that our veterans get the support that not only have they earned, but they need and deserve.
Yeah, and you got to keep your eye on the ball all the time, Jose. How many bills is Wounded Warrior Project tracking at any one given time?
So throughout, just to give you some perspective of how busy our team is, throughout this 118th Congress, which started in January of 2023, we've been tracking a little over 700 bills.
Oh, wow.
It's a lot. We closely review about a little less than half of those, so 300 plus bills, and actively working and endorsed 98, but then focused on a handful of those to try to get those across that finish line before this Congress ends.
Wow. That's some incredible work. And so what are some of these legislative priorities for Wounded Warrior Project?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think what I'd like to start off is tell you how we actually identify our priorities. We listen closely to the warrior population we serve. We do that through the daily interactions that we have with them, through our programmatic arm, if you will, and all the connection and engagements that we have with warriors across the country. And we also do that through our warrior survey that showcases the challenges and successes of the veteran population we serve. Again, we not only do the programmatic side of connection events, the mental health engagements, and so forth, but we also hold roundtables with warriors across the country to better understand their needs and the roadblocks that they face. What we learn has led us to promote and support the following types of bills focused on mental health, brain health, women warriors, financial wellness, and caregivers.
Yeah, we're talking to Jose Ramos, the VP of Government and Community Relations at Wounded Warrior Project here on the National Defense. That's a lot of stuff that you mentioned there, Jose. Let's take a look at a little closer at priorities in each one of those categories, maybe starting with mental health.
Sure thing. Mental health is really the focus of just about everything we do at Wounded Warrior Project. From direct support of our mental health programs to the impact we see from physical health and wellness, connection, and other programs. Two bills that we are most focused on now is one, not just the Number Act, which requires VA to take a more comprehensive look at veteran suicide. Specifically, what this bill does is it aims to know the relationship between VA benefits and suicide and which benefits have the greatest impact on preventing these deaths, unfortunately. The other is the Senator Dole's 21st Century Veteran Healthcare and Benefits Improvement Act. The legislation itself, we hope, includes a priority that addresses VA's mental health residential rehabilitation treatment program. So the ability for veterans to get into actual residential treatment for mental health specifically.
And, you know, Jose, we hear a lot about traumatic brain injury, TBI. It's, of course, it's a signature wound of the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. How is that being addressed?
Great question. You know, I think DOD reports that there are more than 490,000 traumatic brain injuries in service members since 2000. We focus currently on a few bills. One is expanding veteran options for long-term care. Another is coordinating care for senior veterans. A third is a TBI program reauthorization act, which would increase funding for a state partnership program and federally designated brain injury as a chronic condition. As a matter of fact, Randy, just yesterday, Wounded Warrior Project proudly supported a bill that was just introduced by Senator Warren and Senator Ernst, both who sit on the Armed Services Committee. It's called the Blast Overpressure Safety Act. And this bill, among other things, would mandate regular neurocognitive assessments over service members' careers, as well as improved data on concussions and subconcussions to brain injuries, and then provide a host of other things such as supporting service members with treatment. Really excited to see that introduced yesterday on the Senate, and looking forward to the introduction on the House side here in the near future.
Man, Jose, it's got to make it all worthwhile when something like that happens for you, right?
It does. A little bit about myself. I was severely injured back in 2004, served three tours overseas. I have a lot of friends, fellow brothers and sisters in arms who have sustained traumatic brain injuries for this particular issue in itself. But so for me, it really is meaningful to be able to provide some sort of relief and continue to advocate and express the needs of those who still need our support.
Absolutely. And, a lot of people may not know this, but female veterans make up the fastest growing portion of the veteran population. And you guys deal with that as well, right?
That's right. They are the fastest growing subpopulation of the veteran population at large. And that's why we started collecting additional information on the challenges that female veterans face. We initiated a Woman Warriors initiative a few years back. We're actually now in the midst of engaging with female veterans across the country once again this year. And all these engagements will help inform our third Woman Warriors report to be released next year. We're also promoting efforts on Capitol Hill now to assist women veterans specifically. One is, asking Congress to pass the Edith Norris Rogers STEM scholarship opportunity to increase educational opportunities, not just for female veterans, but for veterans at large, but understanding that female veterans are underrepresented in this field. And then, frankly, one of the biggest challenges female veterans face is that the VA system just wasn't designed for female veterans, right? So working with VA and in Congress to ensure that there's an expansion of gender-specific care at VA, so bills that look at maternal health care and menopause are two recent issues that were highlighted in a testimony. One of my colleagues here in our D.C. office testified along those lines. Along with oversight of Deborah Sampson Act, the bill that was passed in 2001 that kind of triggered a lot of reporting and initial efforts to better support women veterans through the VA healthcare system.
Hey, listen, we just interviewed Madison Marsh, Miss America, a few weeks ago, the first military Miss America. She's a hotshot jet pilot, and she's the Miss America. So, I know exactly what you're talking about. We're talking to Jose Ramos, the VP of Government and Community Relations Wounded Warrior Project here in the National Defense. And, we keep hearing this keeps happening too, Jose, about inflation. It's an ongoing issue, especially for veteran families, active duty families, and everybody around the nation. What are you guys doing to help in that regard?
Yeah, great question. Inflation, frankly, is not a specific issue that we can tackle as it relates to the whole challenge of inflation. But we do support bills and efforts that help better that help veterans with their benefits and careers to hopefully be able to deal with the raising cost due to inflation. Right, one of the bills that we've been fighting for quite some time is the Major Richard Starr Act. This legislation helps veterans who were both combat injured and medically retired before reaching their 20 years of service. And what it would do is allow them to receive both their VA disability as well as their DOD retirement. Right now, there's an offset of $1 for $1, meaning that there's money on the table that's not actually given to the veterans. And we feel strongly that they've earned that benefit due to their injuries as well as the fact of the fact that they were retired and served. The other is a bill. The other two are really bills focused on kind of the employment side. One is the Get Rewarding Outdoor Work for our Veteran Act, which would actually help place veterans into roles within the Department of Interior, focused on outdoor roles such as conservation, park management, and other positions. This not only helps with the financial burdens that inflation might create, but it also helps with the mental health aspect of being outdoors and getting back into a setting that frankly is known to improve mental health in general. And then lastly is the Employment Veteran to Feed American Act, which increases opportunities in the federal agricultural jobs for veterans.
Man, that is so, what a great idea to get outdoors and yeah, I mean, there've been all kinds of studies that show that just helps with the mental health aspect. And Jose, you mentioned the Major Richard Starr Act. I want to find out where that is because I know what last month, more than 2/3 of the Senate agreed with an astounding 71 co-sponsors. Where does that thing stand right now?
Yeah, you know, It's a tough pill to swallow sometimes sitting on this side of the process. You're 100% correct. You know, in the House there are 327 members supporting the bill. In the Senate, I believe we're at 74 members now. Those are unprecedented numbers that frankly demonstrate unwavering support across both parties and across the aisle. You know, the reality is we just got to convert that support into action. With everything in Congress, things move a little slow. Sometimes there's the support, but the action's not taken. So we've been very active with our colleagues across the veteran and military service organization space to make this a priority and to really push Congress to actually now take that final step and get this bill passed into law so that veterans can receive those benefits and that compensation they've earned through their service and, by the way, through injuries sustained while in combat or training for combat.
You know, that's the unbelievable thing to me and a lot of people, Jose, and I'm sure to you, too. When a bill like this comes up, you say, who would oppose this ever? I mean, there should be no opposition at all. Does it kind of boggle your mind sometimes?
Yeah, you know. I think we get used to the discussion and the excuse of it costs dollars. You know, veterans paid that cost through their service and through their sacrifice and through those life-changing injuries. And frankly, this is a cost of war, right? It's a cost of putting young men and women into harm's way, whether it be direct conflict with the enemy or training to engage in direct conflict. So, as an organization, we don't get into what is or isn't paid for. We get into, or we solely focus on what we need to do to ensure that veterans have access to both the health care and the benefits that they've earned through their service.
Well said. Well said. And, you know, we talk a lot about caregivers on this program, too, and we do a lot of work with the Hidden Heroes program at the Elizabeth Dole Foundation, and they often play a hidden role supporting their wounded loved ones, of course. What are you guys doing in that space?
Caregivers is really something that I'm personally invested in because of the injuries I sustained and obviously the commitment that my family makes now as well as my parents did when I was initially injured. Organizationally, we support and are big partners of the Elizabeth Dole Foundation with our Hidden Helpers Initiative. We obviously, from a congressional standpoint, support the Elizabeth Dole Care Act that addresses some of the home care and caregiver programs. We're also looking at a caregiver application and appeals reform act that enhances the ability for caregivers to apply and appeal decisions made that they don't seem or they don't believe to be favorable as it relates to the actual caregiver program. And then we are looking at a bill called the Veteran Caregiver Reduction, Reemployment, and Retirement Act, which helps caregivers in renewing their professional certifications that lapse during caregiver years. Lastly, you know, not just congressionally, but we are very tentatively paying attention to a much anticipated VA regulation that's going to come out here, hopefully in the near future, that governs the program of comprehensive assistance for family caregivers. And this program really, or this regulation will hopefully address some of the current challenges as it relates to eligibility and being able to stay within that caregiver program, which are all supportive services for those family members who are taking care of their loved ones.
Man, you guys are busy. You guys are busy. We're talking to Jose Ramos, the VP of Government and Community Relations at Wounded Warrior Project. So, Jose, what are you hoping that Congress will accomplish this year for veterans?
Realistically, we would like Congress to pass the omnibus veterans legislation. So that includes those provisions on the caregiver program that I just discussed. Obviously, the Major Richard Starr Act is one of our biggest priorities, and we're hopeful that Congress takes action before the end of this year. Additionally, there's a TBI program reauthorization act that has already passed in the House. House committee specifically, and we want to make sure that gets through. So we have a host of bills, but Randy, if I can maybe focus on those two or three major ones, it'd be the omnibus that includes the caregiver provisions that we discussed, that healthcare provision for residential rehabilitation programs, and the Major STAR Act.
And Jose, are there other some interesting bills or public policies regarding veterans that our listeners and other people might be interested in learning about?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a handful of other issues and bills. I mentioned the Explore Act and the TBI Reauthorization Act already. Both are very promising for veterans. There's another one called the Air Carriers Access Amendments Act, which benefits not only veterans, but frankly, individuals traveling who have a disability. So this one focuses primarily on accessibility requirements and proper storage for assistive devices. You've probably heard the stories of the countless wheelchairs broken.
Yes.
During travel. So this yes. is one of those that addresses or tries to address that challenge. I think maybe I'll highlight that, Randy, is a lot of these bills that focus on general disability challenges don't just serve and help the runs. It helps the community at large.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we've heard so many reports of those kind of things involving travel. And you're right, Jose. I mean, I think there's, you know, people that maybe aren't familiar with the military. I think sometimes they don't understand when they hear about a bill that will help veterans. It will also help them many, many times. So how can veterans get more involved in this process?
There are a lot of ways to get involved. And more importantly, to help advocate not just for themselves, but for their fellow veterans and service members. One, it's important to just try to keep current on legislation. We track bills at WoundedWarriorProject.org in our government affairs section. We also send out a newsletter to all our alumni. You know, earlier this year, we brought in close to 100 veterans to Washington, D.C. from across the country. We're working to, one, teach them how to be advocates for themselves. We're teaching a group of veterans how to lead other veterans to advocate for themselves, and then obviously empowering them to be their own voice as well as the voice of their fellow brothers and sisters at the both here in D.C. and at the state and district level. It is extremely valuable for members of Congress to hear directly from their constituency, from their voters. Veterans have a voice. Veterans are voters. And so learning or reading up on some of the issues, and more importantly, connecting with an organization like Wounded Warrior Project to go and be a voice and engage with congressional members, both in D.C. and more importantly at home, is a great way to help make a difference.
That's a great point. And you've mentioned so many different ways, Jose, but how else is Wounded Warrior Project advocating?
Yeah. So other than working directly with Capitol Hill and congressional staff, we work really close with the White House and with federal agencies, specifically VA, Department of Defense, and Department of Labor. So we spend a lot of time with federal agencies, educating them on the gaps that we see, and then where appropriate, working with them to create solutions to solve for those gaps. More and more, we're also connecting with congressional offices away from Washington, D.C. We do that for two reasons. One is to make them aware of the programs that we have that don't cost veterans a dime, and make sure that they know that Wounded Warrior Project is here to support their veteran constituency if they need it. But two, also to create opportunities for their constituents who are post-9/11 wounded and injured veterans to connect directly with those offices so they can hear from them directly on different challenges and needs that they have that may differ based on where you are within the country.
Great points. Jose, I mean, you guys, very busy times for your team. Thank you so much for sharing that. And you can learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org. And Jose, thank you so much for your service. Continue the good fight, man.
I appreciate it, Randy. And thank you for taking the time to meet with us today and for helping us kind of share these stories, these messages, and more importantly, bringing attention to these issues.
It's my honor. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.